Before turning to the Word today, I'm sure almost everyone here noticed that Pastor Jeff and Aaron are back from Chicago for a visit, and I hope that you got to say hi to them. And it's just a great thing to have them sitting here today. Today I want to finish the sermon series called Gratitude and Grace. And if you remember, the first message that I preached was called Our Heavenly Language with Gratitude and Grace. And this was the birth of this series in Colossians 4 and verse 6. It says, let your speech always be with grace. And we examined that and realized that that passage isn't about prayer, but that passage is about how we should speak to others outside the church and inside the church, and compared that to all of our horizontal relationships. And then I challenged you in that message to think about how you speak to your Father in heaven. And so often all we do is run to Him. I need this and this is wrong and so on. But we ought to be blessing the name of the Lord in our prayer. And we ought to be communicating in gratitude with grace, even in our prayer language. Then last week I spoke about living in gratitude with grace, and encouraged you to breathe in God's grace, receiving it. That's what makes us thankful people. That's what makes us grateful people, breathing in the grace of God, realizing He didn't give us what we deserve, realizing He has made a way when there was no way. Just reading Psalm 103, all of those benefits. It goes on and it says, you know, He cast our sin into the sea as far as the east is from the west. He's a great God who loves us in His mercy. And that psalm ends with the same statement, bless the Lord, O my soul. And then I said last week, so that's in the gratitude and then with grace, that we ought to be breathing out grace. And so if we're grateful people, we're going to be gracious people. And I wonder, how'd you do this week? Were you able to magnify the Lord with thanksgiving? Well, this last message is called The Expectancy of Gratitude and Grace. And from that title, I want you to realize, I don't think by nature many of us are grateful people. I think we want to be. But I think, as I said last week, you know, whatever's the top of the list, I think we all tell God, let's get this one thing resolved, and then I can be thankful. But once that's resolved, something else takes its place. And so it is work to live in gratitude and grace. But if we strive to do so, did anybody strive to do so for 1 week like I asked you to last Sunday? Good. I'm glad it stuck with you. To say, I'm going to magnify God, not minimize Him. I'm going to bless the Lord. I'm going to name His benefits on purpose. Well, what could we expect to happen? How would our lives be different if we would do that? So for sure, I would imagine in this last week, all of us have said something like this. We should be more thankful. And we might go through the list and say, here's the things I should be thankful for. But what changes? And then we might reason, well, we should do a lot of things. But just the should list isn't what that makes the change. So there has to be an intentional effort to be thankful. And if we are thankful, living in gratitude with grace, how will our lives be different? And so a good way to examine this, I think, is to state why I struggle with thankfulness. Okay, if I want to live thankfully, how can God change things? What will happen if I do that? And we want to drive at that. Well, if you open your Bibles to Psalm 100... it's a psalm of thanksgiving. Jeff.
Psalm 100 is a favorite of mine.
Well, that's good. I'm glad. Well, if it is, you want to come up and read it?
Can I say a few things?
Sure. Yeah, why don't you just come up then, Jeff? Thanks for coming home.
It's planned.
Jeff's going to preach today. As always, Pastor Bob, I got your back. I just wanted to see what you were going to do there. Yeah, it's Sunday, and Thanksgiving was Thursday, right? So you people are still talking about Thanksgiving, really? Like, that's like ancient history. Like, why are we still talking about Thanksgiving? I was talking to Pastor Bob earlier this week. He said we're doing this Thanksgiving series, and he emailed me his notes, and I thought you'd be done by now because Thanksgiving's over, right? And you said, I thought you went to Chicago. And, well, hold on. I'll give you something to be thankful for. We're leaving again tomorrow. But it's been a great time visiting with family, and I've been trying to get around and see everybody here. You guys are better than the Steelers' offensive line as I'm trying to get through. And so we're going to stick around for a little bit afterwards. If you haven't gotten a hug yet, I've got one for you. And stick around. I do want to see everybody as much as possible while we're in town today. So let's talk about Thanksgiving. I don't have a sermon outline for you. And I think it's incredibly gracious that Pastor Bob has given me this opportunity to speak here. And he emailed me and said, do you want to preach Sunday after Thanksgiving? I'm like, that's one of your big preaching days. And he said, I'd like you to preach. And I'm just honored to be able to do that. So I don't have an outline, but I want you to take one of these if you have it in the pew, because you're going to write some things down. Do you ever have one of these? If you don't, rip one in half and give it to somebody that doesn't have one. Greg, do you have yours? Oh, he's got it in his head. Everybody, test Greg Simpson after the sermon. This is going to be your scorecard for Thanksgiving. Since Thanksgiving's over, this is your scorecard. And I want you to rate some things. On a scale of 1 to 10... 10 is it was perfect. 1 is it couldn't have been worse. 5 is just kind of meh. Okay? So how did you do in the following categories? Rate yourself 1 to 10. Family relational time. How did you do? Family relational time. We've been so blessed in this visit. We've been staying with Aaron's mom. There she is right there beside Aaron. And so for me, I'm going to have to give that a 10. I got to see my mom Wednesday night, and we spent Thanksgiving with Aaron's family. And I'm going to give myself a 10 on that. Sharon, is that about right? Okay. All right. All right, 1 to 10. Rate the food. I'm going to go 10 on that one, too. You're like, because your mother-in-law's here? Yeah. And it was good. And it was a 10. But how did you do in food? How about this category? Football. The old Thanksgiving football games. How did you do? Meaning, did you enjoy the games? Did your team win? Like, our team's the Steelers, I know. But you know who else is my team? Is anybody that's playing against the Patriots. That's also my team. And the Cowboys. Somebody asked me about the Cowboys. Like, as Aaron's brother, actually. You don't like the Cowboys. You don't like the Cowboys, Jeff. And I said, let's put it this way. If Al-Qaeda had a football team, and they played against the Cowboys, I'd still hope the Cowboys would lose. So, okay, 1 to 10, how did you do in the post-meal nap? How did you do with that? Lots of oohs and ahs over the post-meal nap. What's that stuff they have in the turkey? The tryptophan or whatever.
Okay, 1 to 10. How did you do in the prayer before the meal? Was it a, let's stop and really thank the Lord that our family's together and that we're enjoying this food and God brought us through another year? And how did you do in that pre-meal prayer? Or was it, let's get it done quick. The hungrier I am, the faster the prayer goes, right? How did you do in the prayer before the meal? And final thing on your scorecard, how did you do in going around and articulating thanks? Like, oh, that's so cheesy, Jeff. Is it really to go around and brag about what the Lord has provided for you and how the Lord has blessed you? I don't think there's anything cheesy about that. Now, I was sort of convicted ahead of time for these things since I was preparing this message. And honestly, I don't believe anyone in here is ungrateful. But isn't it true that sometimes we just plow ahead with life and we're so programmed to just think about what's next, right? Is that true of like anybody else? All we think about, what's next? What's next? What's next? We got so much to do and we have our to-do list and our schedule and what's next? What's next? What's next? That how often do we really stop and look back and say, hasn't the Lord been good? And truth be told, I think we all at times struggle with thankfulness. So let's look at Psalm 100. Five short verses. The title of the message is still, Why I Struggle with Thankfulness. If you're taking notes, I want you to write some things down. Number one, is because I don't give it my all. Because I don't give it my all. Look at verse 1. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. I believe the New King James says a joyful shout. This is for everyone. Okay, this is something that you have to give yourself to. You know, this song that you're singing unto the Lord should actually be starting in the parking lot and sung the whole way in and through the doors. But the truth is, sometimes I struggle with thankfulness because I don't give it my all. It's time to sing and I kind of look at the words on the wall and I'm thinking about other things and I'm kind of mumbling. Anybody else ever do that? You're just kind of mumbling the words and you're not really thinking about, you're not investing yourself in your worship. You're not investing yourself in this context, thankfulness. That's why we struggle. So how much do you invest yourself in expressing gratitude? And think about it this way. Doesn't the size of the gift determine the level of gratitude? Is that true or false? The bigger the gift, the more gratitude I have, true or false? That is true. I'm going to prove it to you. I open up a Reese's peanut butter cup. How many Reese's cups are in a little package? Two. You all knew that one. Very good. I open one up and I say, Kim, would you like a Reese's peanut butter cup? And she says, and then she says,
thank you.
There we go. Thank you. Let's say you come to me and you say, oh, you know what, Jeff, I'm really having some car problems. And I say, you know what? Here are the keys to a brand new Lexus. It's yours. It's yours. You would say, sure. And then you would say, thank you. And that would be the end of it, right? Wrong. Do you get the point? Now, I wouldn't expect Kim to be writing me letters and posting on Facebook, today Jeff gave me a Reese's peanut butter cup and it was the greatest day of my life and I'll never forget it. I wouldn't expect that from her. It's just like, thanks, you're welcome. And we kind of forget about it, right? But a bigger gift, I would kind of expect somebody to come back and say, wow, Jeff, that was really, not like I'm looking for kudos or, you know what I mean, but wouldn't that just be a natural reaction? Like, wow, brand new Lexus, really? That's great. Be writing letters. That is, you'd be putting pictures of it up on Facebook. You'd take a picture of yourself in the car and mailing it to me, and you'd have a personalized license plate, gift from Jeff, right? And everybody's like, where did Jeff get the money to give you a Lexus? And listen, my father owns everything, okay? So just remember that. But you see the point. The size of the gift does determine the level of thankfulness, doesn't it? Now, what's the size of the gift that the Lord has given us? Think about that. What is the size of this gift that we celebrate at the Lord's Supper? That God, who should have given us eternal condemnation because of our rebellion and our sin, said, I will come to the earth myself. I will allow myself to die a horrible death so that your sins can be forgiven. That's a pretty big gift, isn't it? And shouldn't a gift of that magnitude just naturally draw from us a gratitude that will go on into eternity? I think it does. So, this is the big one, right? And think about this. If God only gave this gift, would He still be more gracious than words can express? Think about it. What if God says, you know what, salvation in Christ is the only gift that I'm going to give you, but your days are going to be completely miserable. Every single day of your life on the earth is going to be as bad as it can possibly be. But when you die, you will be in heaven and your pain will be behind you. If that was the case, would God still be gracious? He would, right? He would. Because this world is not our home. We're just passing through. The best is yet to come. But isn't it amazing that on top of the blessing of eternal life that God's given in Christ, He's given so much more? Hasn't God given gift upon gift and provision upon blessing in our lives on top of salvation? Let's just shout out three. Say them nice and loud for everybody here. What has God given you? How has God blessed you aside from salvation in Jesus Christ? What else has God done for you? Just shout it out nice and loud. I heard somebody say family. God has blessed us, with our family and our church family. Amen. Another one. Garlic bread, did somebody say? Oh, daily bread. Okay. I think you merged with somebody there, Dale. Yes, God provides food. Daily garlic bread. And yeah, I think your voice kind of melded with somebody's there. But kidding aside, yeah, did God feed you today? And hasn't God promised that He will feed you and provide for you? He has. So there's another blessing on top of the big one. How about one more? Shout it out. Health, okay. Health. You all look pretty healthy. All things considered. And I know we all deal with different ailments and physical struggles, but overall I think we can step back and say our physical health's pretty good, all things considered. So thankful people recognize God's grace and they respond in kind. But we struggle when we don't give it our all. So why do I struggle with thankfulness? Number two, looking at verse 2, because right actions come easier than right attitudes. Because right actions come easier than right attitudes. Look at verse 2. Serve the Lord. What does your Bible say? Next two words. With gladness. Everybody say it. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. How can we repay the Lord for what He's done? How can we? We can't. We can't pay God back. There's no way. He's given us a free gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Our only response is to throw ourselves at His feet and say, God, I am Yours and I will serve You. I will do whatever You want me to do. with my life, because my life is now your life. And we just saw that graphically pictured in baptism. I'm dead, I'm alive in Christ. Christ lives in me and through me. That's the only response that we can make to God's gift. But you know, thanks is more than just showing up to work. Do you know that? It's more than just showing up to work. And if you're married, I think you get that. Because this is something I had to get through my fat head through the first few years of marriage. I always thought that Aaron would just be happy if I got the to-do list done. Or the honey-do list, right? And if there's any problems, any arguments, any quibbles, dissensions, those kinds of things, that I'm like, well, I got the list done. And wives, you know, you're more about the relationship than just getting the check marks on the list, right? Well, it took me a while to catch that. Well, I think some people bring that before the Lord. Like, I'm just going to get my to-do list done, and the actions come easier than the attitudes. You know, I've been blessed to be part of North Street for, you know, serving here as associate for 11 and even doing camps with Pastor Bob for years prior to that. It was around 15 years that I was blessed to be part. So I know what goes on here, and I know that North Street is wall-to-wall with servants of the Lord in different capacities and different ministries. This place is full of servants. But the question is, who serves the Lord with gladness? You see, that's the question. Who serves the Lord with gladness? Early on when I was here, I'll tell you how long ago it was, I was living in the Locust Street house. Remember the Locust Street house? Somebody leaned against it and it fell down. Well, I was living there, and the phone rang, and somebody needed some help. It was my day off. It was a Thursday, and somebody called and said they needed help with something. It was something that, in my mind, could have waited a day. But I remember, they were like, well, I really need your help. And I was like, okay, I'll be there. And I hung up the phone, and I remember the thought that I had. As soon as I hung up the phone, I thought, I'm going to do it. But I am so not getting a reward for this from heaven. I just knew that. I knew that someday when I cross into heaven, there is no reward for doing that. Because my heart was so not in it. It was just like, get in the car and, you know, here we go. I had a terrible attitude. Like, no reward in that. Serve the Lord with gladness. So why do I struggle with thankfulness? Because right actions come easier than right attitudes. Number three, why do I struggle with thankfulness? Because I forget who I am in relationship to God. Because I forget who I am in relationship to God. Look at verse 3 again. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us. Everybody say, I am created. And we are His. Everybody say, I am not my own. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Now everybody say, I am self-absorbed. Well, that was a harder one to say, wasn't it? Come on. It's just as true. Let's hear it. I am self-absorbed. Me too. Me too. That's why He says we're sheep. I'm going to talk about that in a second. But you know, parents, just by virtue of having kids, there's some kind of an automatic expected gratitude that parents have for their kids, right? It's true. It's somehow, I know children are a gift from the Lord. I know that. Totally get that. But isn't there a sense, parents, where it's like, I created you, so your very existence is thanks to your mother and I. So every day you should just fall on your knees and say, thank you, Mom and Dad. Thank you for having me. Isn't there some level of that in parenting? Or maybe you say it this way, I brought you into the world and... Okay, so you do get it. You owe me. I made you and you owe me. We all have a little of that going on as parents, don't we? Some kind of automatic indebtedness. Well, the Lord has blessed Aaron and I with a unique perspective on that. Because Owen, who doesn't talk, when we do things for him, for example, Owen wants a glass of water, here's your glass of water, Owen just grabs it and phew, he's gone. He doesn't stop and say, thank you for this. This is going to be good. Thank you. He's just gone. And Cade, if you're around Cade long enough, you realize that everything with him is a script. It's like his life is a movie, and he's been trying to memorize this script. And he's going to try to say everything. Like when we went to Living Treasures with Nathaniel. Remember that, Dr. Geyser, when you took us and you got Cade to feed the camels or llamas or what were those things, goats or something? I don't know what they were. Nathaniel can tell you. But Cade had this handful of stuff, and he would go up and down and feed them, and every time he'd stop, he would say, thank you, Cade. Thank you, Cade. And it was the script in his mind. Like, that's what you should be saying. You're missing your lines. But when we do things for Cade, he'll, thank you, Mommy. Thank you, Daddy. Now, he's still going through the script. He knows, because Aaron's taught him, that that's what you say. But he doesn't really, like, feel gratitude. I don't think he does. He just knows that that's the line. But you know, that's what we do with God, I think, in both cases. Sometimes God gives to us and we're like Owen. Pew. Next! Right? And I think sometimes we're like Cade. God provides for us and we're like, thank you, God. Said it. And we're done. Well, I struggle with thankfulness because I forget who I am in relationship to God. Notice again at the verse. It says, we are the sheep of His pasture. Circle that word sheep in your Bible. Notice that the Bible doesn't say we are birds of His flock, or we are horses of His stable, or we are dogs of His kennel. It says that we're sheep. And why does it say that we're sheep? Because horses, dogs, and birds, those animals don't need a shepherd. Do you know that? They don't need a shepherd. But sheep, on the other hand, are stupid and self-absorbed and wayward, just like me. And sheep, because of that, they need a what? They need a shepherd. You know, sheep don't set out to be rebellious. They're just so self-absorbed. They're just walking along. Oh, there's some grass, and oh, there's some, you know, I think a plastic fern, and oh, look what's over here. And they're just so self-absorbed. That's us. I don't think we set out to say, I'm not going to be thankful today. We just set out to what's right in front of us, and we miss it because we forget who we are. Number four, why do I struggle with thankfulness? Because I wait to feel it instead of choose to give it. So pop quiz, I just gave you a hint. Thankfulness. Do you feel it and then offer it, or do you offer it and then feel it? There's a big danger in saying I'll be thankful when I feel thankful. Big danger in that. We are so prone to just miss it. And looking for the feeling and missing the things that we should be thankful for. A few weeks ago, I needed to get my hair cut. I had this like afro thing going. And driving down near our place, there's this place right by downtown Elgin. There was a neon sign in the window that said, $5 haircuts. And I was like, cha-ching, $5 haircuts. I mean, how bad could they botch mine anyways? I mean, even if they scalp me, it'll just grow back in a couple weeks. $5, really? So, Saturday morning, I said, Aaron, I'm going to get my haircut. Wouldn't you know, I left at 9:30. I drove. There was a parking spot right in front of the building. No meter. I pulled right in front. I went in, and I'm used to waiting upwards of 2 to 3 hours at the barber shop. And I went to sit down, and one of the people hollered, what are you here for? And I was like, my smart aleck answer Rolodex is turning. You're going to have to give me a minute until I pick one. Wait. And I'm like, no, I'm here for a haircut. You can just insert your own there, okay? But I'm here for the haircut. They sat me right down. The lady came right out. And I'm like, I'd like a little bit of hair left on top. And she's like, meow, meow. I'm like, no, some hair left on top. And she was just, I found out that she didn't speak English. So, whoops. Well, the whole time she was cutting my hair, she did this thing that was half hiccup and half burp. Do you want to hear what that sounded like? I'll get with you afterwards on that, okay? So you can imagine, this woman's like, 3 inches away from my face, cutting my hair, and it was like every 30 seconds, it was like, she kept doing it, and doing it, and doing it. And I wasn't like gagging, but it was just a little gross. And got done with the haircut in no time, obviously, and the man at the cash register, I went up, he goes, Señore! And I'm, que bueno! And went out in my car. I was home in like 20 minutes. I couldn't believe it. Now, how many things did I have to be thankful for in just that little story? The good parking spot, the good price, the Señore thing, and, haircut and back in 20 minutes, that's never happened in my life. But what's the one thing that stuck with me from that whole ordeal? Oh, the lady kept hick burping in my face, and oh, she every day. That was the thing that stuck. But we all do that. We can have a whole great set of circumstances, and there's one little thing that just wasn't quite perfect, and oh, I'm never going back there again. But I probably will. Well, I struggle with thankfulness because I wait to feel it instead of choose to give it. Notice in this verse, this is a mental and an emotional exercise. I want you to look at the imperatives. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. And, implied, enter His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. See all those imperatives? So often we just wait to feel it instead of choose to give it. You don't have to look it up now, but just jot down 1 Chronicles 23:30. Jot that down. What you need to see there, when David was getting preparations made for the temple, he was doing all this organizational work. And when you get to 1 Chronicles 23, he was organizing the Levites. And do you know, every morning and evening, one of their jobs was to just stand before the Lord and give thanks. Did you know that? Every morning and evening, just stand and say, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing through Israel. Thank you, Lord, for your provision and your blessing. And that was their job. And I'm thinking about making a pitch to get that done again. To just have people come and say, our only agenda is to say thank you to God. That's it. We're not going to run out of things, by the way. Right? Like, well, I kind of struggle with thankfulness. That's what we're talking about. Well, here's step one with that. Acknowledge that thankfulness is a choice. That's step one. You have to acknowledge that it's a choice. Now, looking at this verse, he's talking about, in our vernacular, going to church. How do you go to church? Well, they said, enter with thanksgiving, enter with praise, and giving thanks and blessing Him. So what about you when you're on your way to church? How can you put this into practice? I want you to write this down. 3 questions to ask yourself on the way to church. These are 3 questions I want you to ask yourself on the way to church. And you're going to see your level of thankfulness go through the roof if you do this as a family. And the first question is this. What is God doing in my life right now that can only be Him? What is God doing in my life right now that can only be Him? I have no natural explanation for what's happening. I can't explain around it. It's not coincidence. What are the things that I can say, that has to be God? It has to be. What's God doing in my life that can only be Him? Second question. What aspect of God's nature stirs me to gratitude? Like, what is it about God that when you think about God and His character and His person, what is it about God that makes you most thankful? What stirs your heart? Is it that He's patient and hasn't given up on you yet? Is it that He's forgiving and has forgiven me of all the wicked things that I've done and will do? What is it about? Is it His creativity? So what aspect of God's nature stirs a thankful attitude in me? And the third question is this. What arenas of thanks do I overlook? What arenas of thanks do I overlook? Here's what I mean by that. There are certain things that some of us completely overlook because we just take it for granted, that we never stop to give thanks for because it's just so commonplace. Things like this. Some people, even in this room, some people in this room have never struggled with a major health issue. You know that? There are people in this room that have never struggled with a major health issue. Have you stopped and thanked God for that? Yeah, I got this going on, I get this going on, but overall I'm pretty healthy. Have you been thankful for that? Or what about your kids' health? You know, I have a list of kids that I'm always praying for, two of them are mine, but there are some others that many of you know. My list of, you know, it's like the six and under club of just kids with major health issues that I'm constantly keeping at the front of my prayer list. And some of you in here related to some of those kids. But you know, many of us in here have kids that don't have any health problems. Is that an arena of your life that you've completely overlooked when you give thanksgiving? Or what about finances? You know, there are people in this room with all this mess that we've had with the economy, and there's some people in this room that can say, you know what? Honestly, I have not struggled through this whole economic turmoil. I haven't. I haven't been in danger of losing my house. I haven't wondered how I'm going to pay the bills. Have you thought about that? Along the same lines, what about job security? With all these people losing jobs, there are some people in this room, that's never even been on the radar that you might lose your job. For some it has been, but for some of you it hasn't. And that's something you should be thankful for, but we just overlook it. So what I encourage you to do is talk about those things on the way to church. And you will enter His gates with thanksgiving, I guarantee it. Finally, why do I struggle with thankfulness? Because I'm consumed with the present and the future. Because I'm consumed with the present and the future. Look at verse 5. For the Lord is good, His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. And that idea of generations obviously looks forward to future generations, but more exactly, it looks back to say, God has been faithful. You know, like Psalm 90, you know, Lord, You've been our dwelling place from generation to generation. It's looking back saying, God has been faithful throughout history. Or the way I like to say it is, you know, God has a pretty good track record, doesn't He? Looking back at what the Lord has done, He's got a really good track record. But when it comes to thankfulness, is that an issue of the past, the present, or the future? Thankfulness is an issue of the past. Thankfulness is an issue of the past. It's looking back at what God has done and responding in gratitude to what's taken place already. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Bob read to you out of Luke chapter 17. Remember the story of the 10 lepers? Remember that? And Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they were going, they were healed. And what happened next? How many came back to say thank you? One. And the question I have is the same question that Jesus had. What happened to the other nine? Somebody tell me. What happened to them? Here's what happened to the other nine. They said, glad that's over. Next. Glad to be done with leprosy. Now, on to the next thing. And that's why we struggle with thankfulness. We don't look back. We're just concerned with looking ahead. One of the pastors that I met that I've been working with out at Harvest, his wife had a great idea that I'd like to see our family do, and I'd encourage you to do it as well. But she had a great idea. She has a shoebox that every time the Lord has shown up in their lives, she'll take a note card and just write it down. Or maybe it's something, if somebody gave them a car, they'll take a picture of the car and put that in the box. Well, every Thanksgiving, one of the things that they do is they get the box out and they pull these things out. Remember when God did this? Remember when we didn't have the money for this and God showed up? Do you remember when we needed transportation and God provided this vehicle through so-and-so? And what a great tradition to have. And I'd commend that to you. But we struggle with thankfulness. Why? Because I'm consumed with the present and the future. And as I wrap up, I'm just going to wrap up where Pastor Bob started. You know, this is the day of the year that preachers everywhere get up and say, you should be thankful. You should be thankful. But you know what? We get that. You already know that you should be thankful, just like I know that I should. Like Pastor Bob and I talk, you know, I should do a lot of things. I should get new clothes and a better haircut and see a dentist, but I don't do those things either. I should, but I don't. Well, we're not saying this year you should be thankful. We're saying you know. And you know why you should be thankful, but the question is, are you? Just leave it there. Are you? You know, and that's what Pastor Bob's been driving towards here. Here's what thankful people look like. Here's what ungrateful people look like. So not asking you, are you thankful? You know, if you just took a poll, I guarantee you it would be close to 100%. Just grab random people and say, do you think you're a thankful person? I guarantee you close to 100% would say, yeah, I think I'm a thankful person. I think there are a few that say, I struggle with it. What about you? See, Pastor Bob's been painting two pictures and basically saying, which one are you? Do you fit the description of the ungrateful person and reap the fruit of that? Or are you a thankful person and reap the fruit of that? Maybe you say it this way. I have a hard time focusing on what God has done. I spend a lot of my time focusing on what I want God to do. That means you're an unthankful person. You're an ungrateful person. Or maybe you say it this way, I find that counting my complaints is easier than counting my blessings. So I just want to ask you to resolve. I don't even want to say ask. I want to say challenge. I want to challenge you to resolve some things. First of all, resolve to focus on the magnitude of God's gift in Jesus Christ. That's something I still brag about North Street to my new friends in Chicago. What kind of church were you from? Oh, and by the way, do you realize that we are like, Aaron and I are like the rarest of rare breeds out there? Because I found out through Aaron having lunch with one of the staff pastor's wives out there. She was just asking what our story was. And Aaron says, we came from a great church that preaches the Word of God and serves the Lord and, you know, community-minded outreach. And this lady told Aaron, you know, you're probably the only person I've ever heard say that. Because usually people that come here are saying, I come from a terrible church and, you know, didn't get along with anybody there and the leadership was always fighting and they come from all these problems and they're looking to get away from it. And she said, I've never... So I just want to say that as a word of encouragement to you. That believe me, you know, North Street's reputation went west a little bit last August. And And I've told them, one of the things I love about North Street is taking the Lord's Supper every week. Because that brings us back to the magnitude of God's gift through Jesus Christ. Stay there. Also, let's resolve that we're going to recall the times that God has shown up. We're going to recall that. We've got to keep that in the front of our minds. You know, last week, Owen needed $6,000 or $7,000 worth of oral surgery. I'm like, can I write you a check? Yeah, right. Well, God showed up and provided all the work on Owen for nothing. And that's a time that I can say, see, God showed up. God showed up. And how foolish would I be to get down the road and find myself in a place of struggle and say, where are you, God? Are you going to do anything for us? He's showing up. Resolve to see everything from the sovereign hand of God. You know, God puts circumstances and people in your life for one reason, to make you more like Jesus Christ. That trial you're going through, the people God surrounded you with, God wants you to be conformed to the image of Christ, Romans 8:29. And finally, resolve to turn this around today. So looking back at the things I already shared with you, resolve to turn this around. And I want North Street, I want the Millers to be people that say, you know, I don't struggle with thankfulness because I do give it my all. I don't struggle with thankfulness because I don't just do the right actions, but I have the right attitudes with it. I don't struggle with thankfulness anymore because I know who I am in relationship to God. He is God, and we are not. We are His sheep. You're right. Fourthly, I don't struggle with thankfulness anymore because I choose to give it and not just wait to feel it. And I don't struggle with thankfulness anymore because I'm not just plowing ahead. I'm constantly stopping and looking back and saying, this is how the Lord has been good to me. Will you bow your heads and pray with me, please? Our Father in heaven, we have so much to be thankful for. And God, forgive us for focusing on things that in the grand scheme of things are minor. We know that this world is not our home, that we're heading for heaven, that you're doing a work in us along the way, but why do we grumble and murmur and complain? And I just pray, Father, that as we finish up the Thanksgiving leftovers, that our gratitude doesn't end when the leftovers do. That we would constantly be looking back, and it would affect everything, our service unto you in the church and the way that we treat our wives, the way that we treat our children, the way that we work, whether it's in the home or in the workplace, that everything we do is an expression of gratitude for everything that you've done for us. Father, we confess that we struggle because we are self-absorbed sheep. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Grow us and change us so that we may glorify your name in all things. Through Christ we pray.